And welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida. This is coming live from Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm blending in. It's going to be a fun show today, although it's, who knows? I mean, we live in a world now that, you know, the minute you turn on the TV, you know, what's next? And I'm going to talk about that today. But I have two comedian friends of mine who are going to, I don't know, somehow try to take the real day and find humor. And that's what the show's about. You know, we're all comics and we all know we're all living through the same shit. So let's just try to see how we handle it. Today's guests on the show, comedians Dustin Chavin and Larry Venturino. Welcome, fellas.
What's up, Dougie?
What's up, buddy?
Well, you know, we were talking before the show, a little pre-show. We're getting all our audio and everything going. And then we're like, you know, we had a topics, we had things chosen. And then, of course, another school shooting. And, you know what I mean? I'm like, you know... First of all, I think as comics, can we agree it might not be a good idea to do school shooting jokes in towns that just had school shootings?
Yeah, I think we can agree. It
depends. I think you can, depends on the comic, you know? I think Sam Kinison could have done it. I think, you know, Doug Stanhope can do it. I think, you know, you have to be very gifted, you know? I think there's a certain, most comics aren't that gifted.
Let me ask you this, Dustin, because you know Dustin's out of all of us is the veteran comic in the boxes on the screen, and is a coach. You know, he's mentored, helps people write, and does a lot of that work. He's awesome,
sure,
and he's blowing up. We're gonna get all into this shit. You know, you're doing great. So I'm so proud when I see people just you know that fucking work, and then all of a sudden things start putting together. You know,
thanks, buddy.
But you got it. And, you know, one of the people that you actually work with, Pete Davidson, who we're going to talk about today, you know, is a gentleman the first time I ever met him was with you in the Broadway Comedy Club when he went and did a spot years ago. And I said, holy shit, this guy's funny as fuck. He's like 18, whatever it was. I'm like, God damn it. You know, fuck, this guy's
already banging hot chicks. He's like he's on a bringer show. He's already banging like 16 hot models.
Was he the man king back then too?
Oh yeah. Just some guys just have a way with women, man, and has nothing to do with fame. That guy was already crushing. He was the guy that was, he's 16, he's showing his pictures of 24-year-old girls. We're like, what?
I got confused. I thought you were talking about me for a second, and I was like, oh my god, sorry about that.
None of us got game like Pete Davidson.
That big dick
energy. You look
energy,
like a hairless gorilla, and you're still getting chicks. So he's got something figured out.
It is weird. But, you know, getting back to the comedy aspect of it, structure of a joke. What do you think of some of the components of doing that? Like being, like, you know, finding, just as a personal example, I do a joke, you know, my father had Parkinson's. So it took me a while to figure out the wording, how to structure it so it wasn't insulting, you know, but it actually... In the end of the joke turns out to me being celebrating my father. You know what I mean? What are the components of the joke that, you know, what are some of the things you think it's got to be or have in it?
Well, I think when it's, you know, some sort of topic that's, you know, going to make people upset, or if it's something that, you know, some tragedy or something like that. I think there's a couple of ways to go with it. Obviously, a personal aspect, you know, some sort of, you know, personal feeling behind it. Even if it's like a news headline, like your anger could be, you know, kind of the motivation for the joke. So like, you know, because I remember when the terrorist attacks, we were doing shows at 9:15, we were doing comedy shows. And we felt like we had to kind of get up and start doing comedy again. And a lot of it was just kind of, you know, how we felt as Americans and love each other and just try to get through this. And there was ways we went around it to be able to talk about it. And it was really, we found that place, which was, you know, brotherhood or whatever it was. But yeah, you can talk about anything, man. You just gotta, you know, you just have to be good at it and find a personal touch on it. You can't, it's gotta be, it affects you somehow. You gotta put that in there. If you just do some blatant joke where you're just being, you know, attacking and trying to be funny about a shooting or something, but there's nothing personal. But if you said something like, hey, I remember my brother, you know, shot the kid in the neighborhood on accident, or, you know, you have some story that can relate somehow, I think you could do it that way. Yeah. But, you know, anything could be funny, man. How many Hitler jokes are out there? You know what I mean? Anything could be funny. Like, it's like you just have to be good at it, you know? And it has to be a real person.
People tackle the cancer joke. I've seen people fail miserably trying to do a cancer joke, which is, you know, it's, hey, why, you know, rape jokes, you know.
I've seen people crush cancer jokes and rape jokes.
Yeah.
I think Big J. Okerson has the best rape joke of all time. He had some, I'm going to slaughter it, but he had some joke. He said, this girl told me when we were in a bar talking together that a song came on and it was Freebird. And she said, you know, I can't listen to this song. It's horrible because I got raped to this song. And then he says, oh, that's terrible. And then he tells us as the audience, he said, you know, two things. First of all, rape is a horrible thing. And second of all, that's a really long song. So, and it was just the way he did it was just funny because he put it into how long that song was. And so, yeah. so he found a way to make it funny. So yeah, I think you can make anything funny.
Yeah,
be a good comic, man. That's the rule. This would be a good comic. Yeah. These hacks aren't doing it right, but a good comic can do it.
And I agree, Claire, too, like, just to kind of chime in about something that's, like, more personal to you. And my previous comment, too, about, like, I'm just not going to roll into a town and talk about something like that. It's not really my style for what I'm doing. But by day, I'm a social worker, and I work with child abuse, another fun topic, right? And a lot of my material stems from some of the stuff I've dealt with and heard and have experienced and whatnot. And the thing about those is that I have to dumb down the level of what horrible things have happened to people, because if I told a joke about what actually happens sometimes, people wouldn't believe it for the most part. So I have to even dumb the reality that's facing a lot of people down, so that the plurality of the people that are in the crowd will, okay, that makes sense, that something like that could happen. Well, I've heard things that, like, you wouldn't even believe, you know, the equivalent of a personal own, like, school shooting, like, that happens to them every single day of their lives, you know what I mean? And so, and the reason I talk about it is because it's personal to me. I've seen it, I see how it affects people, but also I try to not make light of it, but kind of like almost like spread awareness through the jokes, I guess, if that makes sense. But
yeah, it's like make people think about things a little differently. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, since we're talking about it, Pete Davidson decides to leave Saturday Night Live. I mean, at this point, why not? Like, you know, I mean, look at him. But would you guys, would that be something you guys would do? Would you like to do Saturday Night Live, and would you be prepared to audition on Saturday Night Live?
I would. I mean, I go first. I'd be exactly like Pete Davidson. I wouldn't be good at any impressions. They would barely use me. But I would probably crush on Weekend Update, because that's more of the stand-up element.
Yeah.
You can kind of do a monologue. You can kind of pick a topic. You can kind of play off of, you know, the two guys, like, and that's what they did. He found a way. He wasn't good at impressions or anything. Yeah. And so he found, but he's a good rapper and stuff. Like, he found his, you know, what he was good at. And they kind of, you know, just highlighted that. But that kid doesn't. Yeah. That he wants to do other stuff. You know, he's already has like four movies and two movies coming out. And, like, you know, it's like, I think after a while, it's like, you know, you want to just move and do other things. I mean, everybody eventually, you know, goes to the next level. I mean, I think it's ridiculous that we're focusing in on him and, you know, not the other people who were actually more of the staple of the show. I mean, what's her name? Kenan McKinnon or whatever?
The other person? Yeah.
McKinnon? What's her name?
The blonde chick who does those annoying Verizon commercials.
She does way more than that. She's hilarious, dude.
I know.
She's,
that's like, how I remember.
Really, she's like, talented.
Yes, no, she's just
kind of, we're all misogynist, that's why.
I'm just saying, if we don't label us as misogynist now. listen, you do it on me because you can get away and say I was only kidding with the fat boy, and you know, but he knows, but I'm just saying, like, if it was a dude, I'd say, you know, that smug dude.
See,
you know,
you're acting like a sensitive audience right now.
I'm not
trying to be silly.
Don't cancel me.
You're becoming that audience that you complain about.
Last night I did a show in Gastonia, North Carolina, And as a comic, it's always interesting when the booker says, we want to do 45 minutes, PG-13. Larry, what is your version of PG-13?
Probably just not saying the F word, and maybe just no vulgar words at all. Just maybe some innuendo and everything, but not no swearing.
Yeah. Dustin?
I mean, this is something I'm dealing with as we speak. This is something that I am working on getting better at. You know, I have the privilege of working with people like Nate Bargatze, and his audiences are, I mean, his special was G-rated on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the few specials that's G-rated. And so his audiences are amazing. You know, it's 5,000 people sometimes, and you're up there, and then a lot of times you see kids. And I'm an edgy guy. I was raised by Dave Attell and all that, just riffraff in New York City. And so, you know, we're doing late shows with drunk people. It's like, we ain't got time to be PG-13. Like, we have to, it's survival mode. Like, I'm going to go after the jugular. I'm going to be racist. I'm going to talk about smoking weed. I'm going to, you know, so it's like, you can't help yourself. And so now I just did a dry bar special, and it was pretty exciting. It was great. But I tell you, you know, I'm glad there was two shows, because the first show was like, okay, we're going to have to cut that. And we're going to have to cut that. And it wasn't dirty stuff. Here's my problem. I have no problem being dirty. I mean, clean. I could be clean. I cannot.
Wait a minute. You can't even say you're clean, because you said you're dirty. I'm really dirty. I mean, I'm getting
it. Stuttered through it. But it's the racy stuff I have a problem with. It's the edge I have a problem with. Because a lot of times when they tell you to be PG, they mean don't talk about Muslims, don't talk about this, you know, don't talk about drug use, don't talk about. So there's a lot of stuff that we think is clean, because we're all dirtbags, and so we're just like, I did some lines off a mirror, or what, you know, what, like in our heads that's clean, because we're not saying
I didn't say fuck,
you know, some girls.
I didn't say I did fucking lines.
So it is something that I'm struggling with.
Yeah, so, you know, and but you know, like, the interesting thing, by the way, is this PG, like you said, PG, to me, it should just be PGR. Okay. You know, and because PG 13, you ever met my 13 year old nephew? He's a fucking freak. You know what I mean? So if it's based on his 13 year old state at the moment, I could say fuck and talk about finger banging. And it'll be appropriate. It's just a weird thing, dude. You're right. And I'm similar to that. I don't have dirty jokes, but some of the content I have is a little edgy in that. And it pushes things, you know what I mean? And
so you're like me. You like get racy jokes about race and stuff. So yeah, those are the things that I end up getting in trouble with. And then like, you know, and then the whole time I'm doing this drama, I was like, I could see midget, right? And they're like, you know, so it was just constantly like,
just a little bit though.
See what I can slide in. There you go. Just see what I can slide in. And I was just like, you know, but yeah, it's interesting though.
You're right, Dougie, though. If you turn on like a PG-13 movie or TV show nowadays, I mean, back in when we were kids, that was, it's ridiculous. So to be in a club and expect that to be cleaner than that, that's a little bit ridiculous. And then, you know, we live in a society like every single thing that people talk about is about race. And so as a comedian, you can't touch upon race and ethnicity and your own personal experiences. That's ridiculous. I wouldn't even think about that as something that wasn't clean. I mean, if I was told like, don't be
Late night. You got to think about late night.
Yeah. So
like you can't do any of that stuff on late night. You know, I mean, remember Bill Hicks, you know, they didn't air his thing about Jesus, and so you got to think about it like that. Cause a lot of it is, if you refer back to late night, I mean, that's technically, you know, what a lot of these guys, you know, are trying to tell you to do. But
well, I can tell the 45 minutes I did last night was not PG-13 based on that standard. But like I think you said, to wrap that, like we'll say that they were laughing, so it didn't matter. You know, everybody was just like, it was well done. It wasn't just, you know, but that dry bar thing is very difficult because it's got no religion, no sex, no politics, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very
difficult.
I would be the dude. That must have been, can I say dick if it's my friend? You know,
I mean, we'll see if they air it.
Yeah.
So I got my check. Hopefully they air it. But it's, you know, it's good practice for us. And my whole rule is like, I will only be clean if you pay well. Like, I hate, there's sometimes people will be like, hey man, there's $100. Could you be clean? I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to be clean for less than $1,000. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just pay crap money and then want me to just hate myself while I'm on stage for 45 minutes. You know, that's
a
the
great
thing.
Point.
That's a good rule to me for, as a vet to pass on. If, you know, you bump the money up when they tell you they want you to be clean. It's
like, I did the same thing. I had
because you're not having fun.
I had a venue that reached out to me about booking the room and they wanted it to be clean. You know, I'm like, well, you know what? First of all, that you just took 20, you took 80% of the comics I can hire away. Not only because, not that they wouldn't do it, but you know, that's why. And I said, well, how much? And I said, well, this is how much. And I went, oh, that much? I go, if you want a clean show every two, or once or twice a month, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cause that takes me a lot of work and I got to find the people and, you know.
Dude, I ran a club in Utah. It was called Fat, Dumb, and Happies. That was the name of the comedy club. And I was booking it from New York City.
Sounds like the three of us.
Yeah. Am I happy? All right. So
I just know I'm the fat one. I can tell you that.
And I was booking New York comics, and they were a lot of them were headlining for the first time, and a lot of them were clean for the first time. I got Gino Bisconte, guys like that, to be clean for an hour. And so it was just like, they had never done that in there ever. And it was like, it was really interesting because it was like a bunch of Mormon kids, and they were able to kind of figure it out. But when the money's good, you figure it out.
That's great.
You know, it's like, that's, you know, because a lot of comics, they want to get paid well and they want a headline. And so it's like, you can piece it together and make it work for you, but it should definitely be worth your while, you know.
The weird thing about, like, I know I'm much younger than you guys, but when I was growing up,
not that much. But
I'm just kidding. Wait a minute, but how old are you, fucking Larry? Hold on a second, there.
I'm 23. You, 23, I think. 23.
No, you're not.
No, I'm 43. All right. Oh, but no, seriously. Yeah. But when you're growing up, like when I was growing up, it seemed like the whole world was like prude and like so pure. Things like that, and you would go to stand up comedy to hear the dirty stuff, to hear the edgy stuff. Right now, we live in a world that's completely filthy, immoral, crazy shit going on, and they're looking to comedians to be clean all the time. Like, it seems like that. I don't know. That's just my perspective on it. It just seems like it's backwards, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, stand-up comedy is supposed to be the speakeasy. It's supposed to be the place where you hear, you know, the things you don't talk about at work, things you don't laugh about you know, at church. Like, it's just, that's your escape, you know. But people have forgotten that, so.
That's a great point, you know. I think it's great. But I'm trying to write my own stuff for that. I'm working on my own scripted for the dry bar opportunity. But it's just funny, you know, because you sit there, go to an open mic, you write a new joke. Ah, oh, it's another dirty one. Oh, that's another. that's a good joke, but I can't put it on dry bar.
If they air mine, I think I'm just going to, it's going to destroy the whole thing. So.
Dude, that is funny. You said,
it's going to be interesting.
That's funny you said that because, you know, Casey Peruski, South Florida comic out of Fort Pierce, his went up and it's funny. And he's always had a reputation to be a clean comic. So, but he's up and it's a wait because once they film it, then you have to wait till it comes out and then they distribute it. And then you hope you get the views. It could be a stressful process. You know what I mean? While you're waiting for that. And then, you know, as comics, when things like that happen and we don't have answers of why, our mind starts saying, oh, I suck. They don't like me. I'm being blacklisted. You know, I probably pissed somebody off once, you know. Well, if it isn't enough to be worried about now, monkeypox. Is out and
good segue.
I just thought, you know, I would look down at my finger. I said, is that a monkeypox? You know, is it, you know, and with something like this, Dustin, you've got to be happy you're not in New York. Whenever you hear about anything that resembles anything, you got to think, I'm just glad I'm not in New York right now.
Yeah, but it's not like I chose Montana. You know what I mean? I'm in Los Angeles, California. So
it's like,
there's a lot of monkeypox energy happening here as well.
Yeah.
But not being on the subway and stuff and not being so close to people, you know, I mean, that's what I do like about LA is I can get in my car and drive away from the monkeypox. But yeah, I don't miss that, you know, compact way of life. You know,
I bet.
That's definitely why I left.
A conspiracy friend of mine says this is planned. It's like, supposedly word has it that monkeypox in Europe spread at a big rave, and they're trying to blame it a little bit on the gay community. any other type
I've done
of
this
sex.
Before?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's interesting. And his theory is that they want to keep, you know, why would a terrorist go and blow up a building when they just get a few terrorists to catch monkeypox and go blow a few dudes at a rave? Who knows?
What does monkeypox do? Does it kill you?
I think I read it could be fatal for 1 out of 10 people. But for the most part, it's a zit popper's dream. You know, you got these big postulates.
Break out. Wow.
Yeah. You look like it's not pretty. You definitely don't want to say you had monkeypox. I mean, I think if you're single and you caught monkeypox and somebody asked you, did you ever have monkey? Yeah, I had monkeypox. I think they're going to go, have a nice night. I'm just saying. There isn't enough. And here's a story I wanted to give you guys attention because when I hear that, is there a conspiracy? Are there things, people working behind the shadows? But here's a story that this is an interest. This goes under the radar. A moth species not seen since 1912 was intercepted at a Detroit airport. Ben, I think we got the story up. But this, the guy says, this was a guy from the Philippines. And he said, I was going to make tea with it. But it was the larvae. It was the larvae of the moth. And this moth can just completely disrupt and destroy the farmlands of our country. Tactical moves. You ever think about shit like that, fellas?
Yeah, I just thought
one suitcase. One suitcase of the larvae is going to kill the whole United States farmland.
Well, it's the larvae. You know, these are insects. They reproduce and next thing you know, you got to. Next thing you're going out, you're
mothballs, just throw a bunch of mothballs on the farmlands of America. Just a bunch of mothballs that should be taken care of immediately.
Yeah.
It's it. It's over.
It's a hailstorm. It's a hailstorm, Martha. Fuck, it smells like mothballs.
Yeah.
I just think of The Silence of the Lambs when I see that. Like that movie creeped me out with all the moths and that. Just some dude naked, just like walking around. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think people are generating all this stuff. I guess that's what happens when you have the internet, you know. The internet allows us to do all these things. We can figure out how to like make horrible ways to bring the world down. But didn't we have some giant grasshopper things that were killing the wasps or something? What happened to those?
Yeah,
remember that?
That didn't last long at all. That didn't last long at all.
They're going to kill us.
No, murder hornets.
Where'd the murder hornets go?
I think they're working at the drive-through. at fucking Burger King. I don't know what it was on Sunday when I was driving. I think I was driving from St. Pete. I tried to go to a couple drive-throughs to pick up something to eat, and it was like an hour wait. I'm like, I ended up driving, getting off 8 stops on the way home.
I think it's all fictitious news cycle as well. I don't believe our news cycle.
You know, all I know is expect anything nowadays. I mentioned this, there is a conspiracy theory, the big one a lot of people are talking about. And I have a really good friend of mine that said to me, hey, Doug, I know this guy, he's connected, you know. And my friend I'm talking to is he's not a loon, you know what I mean? This guy's.
Oh, and I believe you're connected. And of all the people I know, I believe that. Dougie is connection.
Nah. I'm a comedian, man. I'm a comedian. I'm a fiduciary.
He's got a point.
Sanitation. Yeah. Just sanitation.
just stop asking questions. He mentioned that, all the way to a well-known source. Supposedly, the conspiracy theory is that the U.S. government is going to declare an alien attack on the White House. And so the whole country goes under martial law just before the November elections. You know, the thing is now, if it happens, you're like, it's all bullshit, right? You know, how many people are going to go, oh, it's bullshit then?
Yeah.
Can we join the aliens? Well,
that's why we've been saying put the wall up. How many years have we been talking about the wall to keep the alien?
The ceiling.
We need to get like a missile attack system, you know, like missile attack. Like we got to have a guy on a ball and, oh, here comes an alien. And, like try to, you know, hit another missile up. Yeah,
I think we need the aliens. I think we need another species. This one's done, dude. Like, we're killing elementary school kids. This one's done. Like, we need new people to kind of interact with and interspecies. That's what needs to happen, man. We need a new species that we can learn from, you know?
Yeah. And if they look a little weird with, like, really long fingers, who cares?
That's Maybe the, they don't. Can... Maybe they're hotter than we are. We don't know what they look like. Yeah, they could totally, you know? Did you see Species? Remember that movie? That was a pretty hot alien.
Yeah. They all come down. They look like...
old enough to remember that one.
They all come down. They look like Pete Davidson and Khloe Kardashian.
Or Pete's probably an alien.
Holy.
Pete's probably an alien.
He is. Yes. You know, if he is an alien, he's the one that even if he's an alien, even the aliens are pissed. Where the fuck did he get that job? You know, he ain't that fucking talented.
Hilarious.
I'll say this to the boy, man. Every time a comic or somebody rips on him, dude, I stand up and say, dude, I think of that time I saw him at Broadway and I said, that kid's fucking, there's no way you can tell me that kid's not
funny. You know what it is? There's a thing that he has that I don't think any of us here have, and a lot of comics that I meet don't have, just a pure essence of being himself. And it's like, it's the hardest thing in comedy to have. I think the greatest comics have it. And those, you know, Bill Burr, there's certain people that have it. And he's just one of those guys. Nate Bargatze has it, where they're just completely themselves on stage. There's no trying to get laughs. There's no like anxiety of trying to win the crowd over. They're just themselves and they're unique people and they're charming and it just all comes together. And so there's very few comedians that have that entire thing. And he's one of those guys and he could talk about anything. He doesn't have to have jokes like we do. We have to work harder because we just don't have that thing that some of these guys have. But Nate could get up there and just read a phone book. They don't care. They just want to hear him talk.
I think that was advice Voss gave me. I've said this before. Voss gave me one time when I work with him. He says, you know, there's going to be a day you're not just saying funny jokes, you know, or trying to make jokes. There's going to be days you're going to just say things that are funny. And, you know, and it's like the first joke I ever wrote from that was, I'm in a good mood because I fit in this shirt, you know? So it's like, you know what I mean? It's just words and saying things. It is, you know, it's like Chappelle, you know, Chappelle could just say, well, motherfucker, you know, you know what I mean? And you're just fucking dying. It's great. Well,
just being himself. Time,
it's time for the news is a joke, everybody. This is where comedians are given headlines and some stories to look at and somehow make a ridiculous story, maybe our next topical joke or a meme or some shit, or just ends right here.
I did the homework on this. You guys go first.
You know, I'm just wondering. I should have a completion button when I send an email out. Did you read the material? Bank refuses to pay ransom to hackers.
You're gonna pay me to do these jokes.
That's right. You like want to be clean? It's double, motherfucker.
Jokes about the internet.
That's what that email was. Dustin sends me an email. If you want me to be clean, it's $1,000. I'll do it for $250. If you want some knock knock jokes, I'll give you a couple fucking for $10. Bank refuses to pay ransom to hackers and sends dick pics instead. Boy, that takes balls.
Yeah, but whose? Yeah. And whose were they, though? Like, did they just pick random ones? Or did, like, Brad from, like, you know, the front of the bank, like, did he, like, I'll do it, I'll send mine or something? I mean, who did they pick? Would they just send random ones or what? I don't know. Seems crazy.
Well, first of all, I don't know if this helps, but the bank is located in Zambia. So it wasn't a guy named Cliff who sent a dick pic. And and that's why I'm sure there was some sure eagerness to send it. Let me send it. No, let me send it. Oh, no, let me send it.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't Dougie. I was on the front of that line. Hey, can I fucking send my dick pic?
It was the good old days when you got like free pins and a Frisbee at the bank. It's like, you know what I mean? They used to get stuff at the bank. They had like merch.
A Frisbee? No, I don't know. A Frisbee?
Remember? You never got a Frisbee?
No, we got toasters and hand
muffins. No, that's how they got you.
Hand mittens.
Well, that's how they got you in college. That's how the banks would get you to sign up for a credit card. They'd have like koozies and like Frisbees and like have a little table. You're just like ruining your life just for a koozie. Yeah. You're just going in debt before you're 22.
Meanwhile, that koozie cost
t-shirt.
That koozie cost you $1,350 in interest.
Exactly.
That wasn't such a good idea. All right, that's good. Now this is an interesting story.
There's no need to go anywhere
else. Yeah, see? Porn again. I ditched my job as a priest to become a porn star at 83. Why I believe sex brings you closer to God. Well, I know she's usually saying, oh my God. But here's a guy from North Carolina. He used to be a priest. And then he discovered he was gay. And said, you know what? I'm going to really have fun. And I'm going to have gay. And he doesn't. Here's the thing. You would not like this, Dustin. But if you read the story, you would realize he does this. He does. He's retired, obviously. He's 83. But he says, yeah, I do the gay porn. But he doesn't get paid. He's just, he's like an open micer of gay porn. He doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
But he's clean. He's clean when he does it.
Yeah, he's clean.
I mean, the Catholic priests have been doing this for years. You know what I mean? Like, he's not on anything new. You know what I mean? Like, he's like trying to expose some sort of like, you know, homosexuality and religion. I mean, come on, dude. It's like, it's been rampant for years. I mean, he's acting like he's the, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. That's the thing. He's been closeted so long. You know, that's the thing. Imagine if you waited till you're 83 to start really fucking, you know. But I know old people are fucking, dude. You know how I know that? Because in Florida, the company Depends, and Florida is the only state where they issue and offer G-string Depends. You know, where incontinence is no longer a deal breaker. Old people are fucking.
Old people are. And nursing homes, man, it's out of control. Like, people, that's where they go to hook up. I mean, you know,
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, what's his, I mean, like, not that I'm like super interested, but like, what is, like, if he's doing these movies, who are the other actors? Are they younger? Are they other 83-year-old priests? Are they, I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Should I be asking that? Larry. I don't even know.
Yeah, no, you should ask. And I actually sent you a few versions of the movie for you to review for us.
Oh, let me just look at those.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. At 83, I hope he's a top, because I don't think you could handle that at a bottom. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of bone density? You have to be in shape to be gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like sitting on an old, it's like sitting on a metal park. It's like sitting on a, it's like sitting on a metal park bench at the beach.
You got to be in shape.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is going, but I think you got to, I don't know if 83 is where you should start.
Yeah, it is interesting. Is it with, you know, is it with young men, or is he doing it with, you know, and how's the guy feel when he shows up? Yeah.
Well, if he is the bottom, can they name it like one of the videos, if he's a bottom, could be in the ass of the father, like in the name of the father, in the ass of the father. I don't know. That could be a good.
Well, first of all, that is one of my fetishes. nun porn is very exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched a little nun porn in your day, but it's pretty great.
I went to Catholic school, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you lived it. But I like a good nun porn. You know? It's exciting. There's something about the, you know, it's not supposed to be this way, and that makes it more exciting. So I'm sure, good for him.
Taboo.
Good for him, man. At least he's living his life.
Well, listen, that's what he said in the article, if you had read it, Dustin. If you read it, he would have said, he said.
We're reading right now. I feel bad.
I want to actually watch the guy's
read
movie.
This article about this guy.
No, it is funny. It is funny. But he says there's no reason why we should be able to lust and do all that. Well, it's kind of part of the major sins is lust and shit. So either way, live your life.
We just get all these rules thrown upon us, and it's like, live by the rules.
Listen, if you find yourself in the pits of hell in eternity just because you wanted to get a blowjob, oh well.
Dude, I was Mormon for 6 years, man. And it was like, you know, I was a good Mormon too. I didn't drink. I didn't have sex. It was like this whole thing. And it's like, and then after, you know, then when I became a comedian, it was like, you know, this world opened up, and I was like, and then I just found myself, was like, I'm trying to just make up for time lost in my 20s. And so I just went crazy. And I was just like snorting every drug I could, every, you know, going crazy with girls, whatever. Cause I felt like it was freedom. So I understand, you know, a little bit about that, where you're just like, life is short.
You are let loose on the earth.
Get a ball gag, man. Life is short. Like,
I think you got it. Listen, I'm all for that. I think one way or the other, you should strike when the striking's good, right? When it happens, I think, you know, it's like people ask me, why'd I wait so long to get married? Well, that's why, because there was a lot of that going on, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I don't have to worry about that. You know, my wife doesn't have to worry about naked women and me chasing ass. She just have to worry about me eating the prosciutto that's in the fridge. That's the only fucking thing. That she's gotta worry about.
Your wife's great. She's a champ. She's a champ.
Yeah. A man with world's first double arm transplant shares recovery journey. This poor guy, he was, what the hell happened to him? Again, he fell, obviously. He got, I think, electrical fucking jolt. And he fell off a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11,000 volts of electricity went through this guy. That never changed.
I read this, Dougie. I read this article, Dougie, because I did my homework. So, I was reading it. And
you're not really contributing much, so I wouldn't have known.
yeah. Thanks.
At least I'm trying to get in here. I'm kidding.
Hey, I asked about what the videos were like for the 83-year-old priest. I mean,
that was a really good contribution. Because
thank ahead. You. I might not even share this now. I don't think you guys deserve to hear.
Oh, stop it, brothers.
No, but nowhere in that art. I mean, they said, now I'm able to feed myself and brush my teeth, and I'm just thinking, like, can you jerk off again? Like, what is that going to be like? I mean, which hand's better now? Like, is it somebody else's? I don't know. So it's like, they did nothing in that article about his recovery in that sense. That's the first thing I thought.
Double
about.
Arm. See, I thought he had three arms. He just got another arm replaced. I'll never do this again. I swear I'll read next time. It's been a rough week.
Well, I will be honest with you. I thought the same thing. And you're reading the article and you're waiting to, you know, as a guy, now I'm like picking up things and I'm reaching up and, paint off the fence, Karate Kid shit. And I'm waiting. I'm like, all right, well, I'm sure you're happy. You can fucking jerk off. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like, hey, that's your time, right? There's no other more sensuous moment when you're with yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps the prostate. It helps your immune system. We don't just do this for the mere pleasure, but now you have two arms, but the guy did say his right arm is getting more developed. So I think that is a sign that he was jerking off.
There it is. That's why you're the champ.
Yeah. There see, there you go. All right.
Hey, that's how you end the segment.
let me ask you a question, Dustin, again, being the joke, the comedy coach, mentor, somebody's, and I'm going to talk to you about stuff.
Quit that for a while, though.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Cause I was talking about, I wanted to write.
Working with comics are rough, man. It's like, it's just a lot of work, but I might do it again eventually. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just didn't want people flooding me.
Yeah. Don't give me he's not taking any clients, everybody. He wasn't here.
I'm
fucking
taking care
jokes.
Of me. I'm taking care of me this year.
Yeah. He's going to be like,
to help
I got the
not
school
get
shooting
pox.
Joke.
Not if you get monkeypox. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The monkeypox.
Too many comics. Too many comics are carrying monkeypox. I don't know. I don't even give a shit anymore. I forgot what I was going to say. All right. Let's roll. This is a fucking great bit. Now, this story I just love. First of all, there's a bunch of funny components about this story. Caught on camera, a zookeeper has his finger bitten off by a lion after teasing it through the cage. Now, again, that's a very Darwinian moment. Like, yes, thank you.
Was that?
Oh, look at the cat, and
was that a
this
bank in Zimbabwe? So... It looks like a bank in Zimbabwe to me.
Yeah, guys,
I feel like all your news stories are from Zimbabwe.
This is from Jamaica. This is from Jamaica.
Oh, same thing.
A zookeeper in Jamaica.
Yeah, he's totally
recently
high.
Had his finger ripped off. He must have been. And I think Ben, we got the Twitter video.
Oh no! Oh no! He's gonna show it. Oh no! No. Oh, no. Oh!
Maybe that wasn't such a good idea, man.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe he's not saying fuck, man.
Oh, I see his finger.
Dude, I can't watch that. That is horrible.
Yeah, why did we watch that? I thought it was just going to be a still photo or something.
It was horrific.
What the hell?
You
I thought this was going
to
be a clean segment. I thought this was clean.
You had enough time to turn your head, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm more terrified of nature than anything else. Like I a guy with a gun in the street, a guy, you know, a hood guy, a gangbanger, like animals freak me out. Like we went kayaking in the ocean and there was like a manatee came up on me too close and I freaked out. Everybody's like, no, it's so nice. It's like, dude, I don't care, man. Have you seen its mouth? Like that thing could chew you. But it's like, so I'm afraid of nature. So somebody messing with nature like that is like just the dumbest person. I mean, it's not a cat, dude. It's not a calico. It's the, it's the king of the jungle, dude. It's gonna eat you.
When I watched the video, I just couldn't, I was just so amazed that he kept sticking his fingers in. Like what was he thinking? Like, you know, okay, I'm going to be cool and try to like brush up against it. You know, maybe a little bit to tease the fucking thing. No, he's sticking his finger in like, you know.
Let's talk about a couple of things. Let's say we're in that position. This is my instinct because my instinct is like, you know, there's the thing like, you know, if a shark, you hit the shark in the nose. I would say spit or something. You know what I mean? Like I would have just been spitting or something. You would hope that you would go into some sort of survival mode. You know what I mean? Because water always freaks out cats. Hey, if you ever I've ever had, you get a squirt gun and they run.
I hope you spit a lot. I hope you have a lot of spit in that mouth. Like little drizzles of spit going at a lion is not going to really stop them.
No, I want to hear you. What would that? I'm just trying to think of something. What would you do? I mean, I don't know. Yell? I would just like growl. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that's what you do. You yell and you die. That's all you do is yell and die. That's all.
I'm gonna die.
You do. No, I'm gonna die. I don't want. No, you can't. I can't go on. If that happens to me, if I'm dumb enough to put my finger in there and I get ripped off, I'm fucking dead. I'll kill myself.
Larry's just gonna walk
your
into
keys?
The fucking cage.
I got my keys. Man.
Well, this is happening so much. Like you know, Dougie, you know, I live in like Southwest Florida, and this happened in Naples. What end of 2021? Some guy stuck his arm in a tiger enclosure, and like he was one of the workers that were like after hours, like helping out. And I'm sure this wasn't the first time that he went over there. This is just the first time he got his arm ripped off, but like, it's like these people are just, I mean, like, I don't feel bad for these people at all.
Well, they got that
mean,
surgery now. Like,
Oh, yeah, that's the guy that has both of that article didn't say anything about that. Like, he lost both of his arms because fucking lion, one lion and one tiger ripped off his arms one day at a zoo.
Here's what I have to say. Here's what I'd like to do. Ben, I'd like to send that video of the tiger biting that guy's finger off to the man who just had his two arms replaced. And I think he's going to be really pissed to see the guy's going to put his arms up. Oh, I can't believe you fucking. Yeah,
that was disturbing.
I don't think,
man.
It, was,
like,
I don't
that's
think
just...
it was the same guy. Yeah.
No,
I mean, watching Tiger King, man, made me just like, you know, that one girl lost her arm. Like, it's just like. We shouldn't be that close to animals like that.
No.
I don't believe
in
zoos or any of that shit. Like, I hate it all.
And like Larry said, I don't think, let them free, you know, get it. Unless it's a big preserve and they can do it, even then, you know, to get them feeling better, you know, it's terrible. But like Larry said, you know, that's Darwinian, you know, that's a guy that perhaps, you know, it's going to be funny now because when he's on the street in Jamaica, he's going to be like, hey, man, you're the guy who got your finger cut off. Fuck you. I can't say fuck you, man. that's fucking great. Yeah.
Again, this is, you're closing these segments with just
thank you,
perfection.
Buddy. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
$1,000 a joke.
That's right. U.S. women shocked. A U.S. woman was shocked after being charged $40 for crying during her doctor's visit. That's why you always got to look at the bill. Says here that the woman's sister revealed that the healthcare center did not even evaluate her for depression or other mental illnesses, but causing more depression by charging her $40 for being a whiny bitch. And you know, I agree with the doc there. I'm really tired of people crying all the fucking time. You know, to me, you know what I mean. Like, enough of this fucking whiny shit. You know. Get your fucking shit together. You know what I mean? I mean, you know.
Yeah. I think they should have.
What kind of doctor was it?
It was, What the fuck? Okay. Let me see. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What,
go
does
ahead,
it say anything about what doctor it was? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. No, no big deal. I just, I mean, well, a couple things. First of all, it's just like, I mean, having to deal with a crying woman, I mean, is one of the most horrible things. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to, it's a lot. No. And I'm sure they were consoling her. And so you should pay for that. You know, you don't just get that for free. You know, that's somebody's time. How long is that? That could have been an hour. They had to like calm her down. Mm. So I think they should pay for that. That's technically therapy. And then the other thing is like, I love the idea of charging people for ridiculous behavior. Like, how great would it be to fine people at comedy clubs for heckling? You know, it's like after the third one, it's $50 to add on your bill. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, like things like that. Like we should, you know, when people are just irrational and crazy, charge them. I like that. Yeah. I think we're onto something. I'm going to pitch that to the comedy union.
All right. Let me, the comedy foundation. Let me add a little legalese to the potential, the contractual aspect of what that could be. So instead of just hitting somebody on it, there would be a disclaimer before every show. If you get thrown out, not only will you be responsible for your tab, but everybody else's tab in the building for fucking up the show.
Yeah. So because they're there to see the show and you ruin their experience. And you just fucking ruin it.
So $1,000 bar tab, that's your fine for being a fucking asshole.
I think you could do that because the comedy clubs is its own entity. You could do whatever you want. Like, you know what I mean? Coyote Ugly has.
Well, if you guys would stop doing these dirty shows all the time, maybe people wouldn't heckle. If you could just stick to clean and not be so dirty all the time. Jesus.
We only do $1,000 shows, so it's been pretty good lately. I don't shine shoes no more.
No, it's good.
That's right, man. Brian Sklar had a great point on our show one time. He talked about like, why is there Brian Sklar hates fucking hecklers. And it's always funny because he's an actor and a comic, so he says that's why I love acting, because you, when you're doing a role, nobody screams from behind the fucking screen, you're a fucking idiot, you know. While you're doing a role, hilarious. But he had a great point, because almost every TV show you see, every movie you see that has comedy involved is a heckler scene. There's somebody who has to fucking say something, you know, or shit like that.
So true.
You know, and you know that as we close the show today, you know, with all the things that happened, you know, of course, with Chris Rock and then what happened to Dave Chappelle. I think the recent thing, the guy who tried to tackle Dave Chappelle and did it miserably. True snowflake. He said that he was triggered by some of his jokes. And another story that just came out, by the way, was Mulaney had Chappelle show up and do a spot. And I guess John Mulaney has a very large LGBTQ community, because, you know, he was getting shit because he let Dave Chappelle open for him. And they couldn't understand it. And you see that story?
Yeah. I mean, the Dave Chappelle thing, it's like, first of all, that guy changed his tune. Because originally he didn't say that. But then when some lawyers got involved, they were like, all right, you got to act like you were triggered from the material that he does. It's offensive. And so they cultivate that whole thing. So now that's what it is. Before it wasn't that. He was just a maniac just going after him. But yeah, I mean, I've been attacked on stage. I mean, Dougie, you're like a black belt, so I fear for anybody coming up on your stage.
I'm just waiting. Dude, I'm just fucking waiting. You're
waiting. You've been waiting your whole life. You've been training.
It's going to happen in slow motion, dude. It's going to happen in slow motion. Some fucking hooplehead's going to come from the first row.
He's like,
it's going to be like,
I know. I almost would have set that up just so you can go viral. I'm just going to like, just have some, pay some guy to attack you. And you'll thank me later.
And if anyone comes to my shows, I'm in trouble. So, because I can't do shit.
Yeah. Well, I got attacked one time and I was drunk because I was doing shots and it was like, I had no business doing the show. And then it's like one of those things where I show up to the show. And it's like, you ever see a show where it's like you're going on later and then you see a guy messing with everybody? So by the time you get up, you're just angry because you've seen him messing with all the other comedians. And so before you even grab the microphone, you just hate this crowd. And so it's like one of those situations. And, you know, I said something I should have said to him. It was a little offensive, whatever. And I was like, shut up, stupid, whatever. And then he just hits me in the side of the head. I'm kind of drunk, so I don't really know what's happening. Hits me again and my watch shatters and the whole thing. And there was no security. It was just like, it was actually, the security was somebody who was in transitioning, So there's no help. We've all played that club.
Yeah, the real muscle in the club.
And then transitioning the to a
comedians
bodyguard,
help
or
me out.
No?
Nothing,
she was transitioning to a bodyguard.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't want to say that much because I know certain people watch this show, but
yeah, don't put that together. This has nothing to do with the reality of it.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Nothing to do with reality. But, you know, but then it's so, you know, I think security is a huge issue in comedy. And, you know, when you, especially when you add alcohol, you know, it's like you're adding to the flame. It's like you gotta have security.
Speaking of adding, we don't want to add more cost to the comedy club to pay us fucking less. Okay. you know, it's, can you imagine?
Yeah, we do. I would rather get paid less and have somebody.
Yeah.
Make sure that I can do the jokes I'm there to do, because it's not about the comedy clubs. It's about theaters and bigger shit. So we're just there to work. And so when guys won't let us work and get that material to the next level, it's hurting us in the long run on money, because it's, you know what I mean? I don't know.
And Dougie, I don't even really understand your question, because like, seriously, as a comic though, too, you said like, you know, John Mulaney has a big, you know, following for that community, and like, why would he bring Dave Chappelle? The reason is because Dave Chappelle doesn't have hate. He does jokes about maybe trans people, but John Mulaney knows these are jokes, and a rational, regular person who can take a joke, you know, can have no problem with a comic coming on stage, no matter what audience it is, and telling a joke about everyday life, about things that affect people. And so John Mulaney knows that, you know what I mean? And so one random, you know, crazy person in the crowd that wants to attack people over every single thing that they're triggered, they're the problem. It's not like John Mulaney shouldn't bring up on stage somebody that he wants to have on stage because it's going to trigger somebody, you know?
Yeah. And how is this a new thing? Every black comic I've ever seen is pretty much homophobic on stage. It's like, how is this a new thing? Watch BET comic.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares. Yeah. It's like they've been through enough. They can say what they want. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Here's the thing I think is true, and I try to remind myself of this, and when things like this happen, there's always that outer fringe. So the people that tweeted and some of the tweets I was reading through with that story, and the people that are like, oh, he's homophobic, he's this and that. You're like, no, he's not. He's a comic, and he's reacting to real life situations and opinions and feelings and you know, and deal with it, you know? You know, and it's amazing to me. So, but there's that fringe, because I personally don't think, I would guess, if we can pull the entire transgender community, I would assume there's a majority of them that would say it's fucking funny. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd be most just of them like are Key else. West. So if you want to go out there.
And I'd really like to find out that one transgender chick I met in South Beach that one time when I was high on Molly.
No, but you're exactly, anybody. Both of you are exactly right. You know, and it's just like, it's comedy, like the beginning of the show where we talked about comedy. You should be able to talk about anything. You should be able to make anything funny. And the thing is even in Dave Chappelle's jokes, it's about his friend talking to them. So he obviously has a relationship with someone. Like it's an intimate, real thing that he's explaining as he's on stage. And so it's like, people just get trigger word and they're just like, this and that, and you're hateful. I get it all the time. I'm an edgy guy. And so like, they don't hear the whole joke. And it's like, you're not hearing where I'm coming from. You're just hearing something that you think you're supposed to be offended by. And we've been saying this for years, you know, but
let me ask you, Dustin, you see that? Because when I'm telling jokes like that, now it's funny because I can see somebody in the crowd, you know, some people be smiling, laughing, and then you see some people just looking at, you know, you're looking at them. They're going, like, you know, they're looking at you like, oh, here it comes. You know, you see that shit and you almost stop. Oh, I'm going to keep fucking telling this joke. It don't matter. You know?
No, that's why I like a dark room. I like the lights. I don't want to see the crowd. That's why like Dangerfields is always amazing, because you couldn't see anything. So you can just say whatever and you didn't see their faces. I hate looking at them.
Yeah, that's funny.
In this case too, like in this person's defense too, this was like the first, incident that I can think of someone being triggered about something that affected them. Usually it's the people that you're not even talking about who get triggered for this other part of, part of our society or part of another culture or sexual orientation or whatever. It's usually the people that are not even that.
Yeah. Larry, those people you're talking, Larry, those people you're talking about are white women. Okay.
Absolutely. Every single time. So this is like the first one that wasn't, unless they're transitioning into a white woman. So.
Well, I think the most offensive thing about this story is the fact that Dave Chappelle, you know, is opening for John Mulaney.
You want me to open up for you, motherfucker? Yeah. Wait a minute, I'm not putting this out now. Okay. All right. Better be able to follow me, motherfucker. Rich.
I love how we're doing Dave Chappelle.
Could you imagine you're fucking doing a show? Can you imagine doing a show and fucking finding out, oh, Dave Chappelle's going to come to a spot before you?
Yeah, he's going to open. He's going to do a guest before you go. I mean, I've had guys kind of, I've had drop-ins do that, but you know, that's unbelievable. That's the last person I want. That is like the who's one the person you're like, who would you not want to follow?
That's fucking, who's the hardest person you ever followed, Larry?
I follow people? Let me think.
He's like everyone.
every single person. I don't even, is that a trick question?
Dude, listen, have you ever been in that situation when you're in the green room, like, and something like that? And let's say a guest spot and somebody's just fucking crushing, and whoever's next is going, oh my God. Start standing up. And they start fucking stretching and shit. Yeah. Dude, you're going to go tell jokes or fucking join the decathlon? Anyway, folks, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank Dustin Chafin and Larry Venturino for joining us today. Larry, what do you got coming up?
You're welcome. Well, I'm actually... what are you laughing about that for? I'm actually heading to New England in June. I'm going to be doing shows in Maine, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. You know, I'm actually going to be in Miami. I don't know who's seen this in Florida or whatever, but I'll be in Miami on June 11th. But I'm also going to be at the Comedy Park, headline the Comedy Park in Cranston, Rhode Island on June 26th. I'll be at, earlier that week, I'll be at Mohegan Sun, Nick's Comedy Stop in Boston, and I'll also be up near Portland, Maine. So that's the kind of the next stuff I'm getting ready for to travel up there.
Nice.
Great. Sounds like a fun run.
Thank you.
You can catch me next weekend. I will be at a new comedy club I've never played before called The Comedy Drop. It's in South Bend, Indiana. I think that's where Notre Dame is. So, check me out there Friday and Saturday, the 3rd and the 4th. And I'll be in Los Angeles. I'll be the Ha Ha Comedy Club, and I'll be at Flappers in Burbank. And also I'll be with Nate Bergazzi on the 24th and 25th. We'll be in Reno, Nevada, at some big, nice, fancy theater. So, yeah, come check us out. Mm.
And by the way, I have a theory about Reno, Nevada. If you're ever in downtown Reno, I have a theory that over 50%, if not more, of the people in Reno have a limp. Fucking, you tell
surgery.
Me I'm wrong, dude. When you fucking go there, you tell me I'm wrong. You're going to look around. Oh, fucking kids limping.
Is they're messing with animals at the zoo, Dougie. That's what they're doing.
A lot of people keep trying to kick the bucket and miss.
Oops, motherfucker. Who moved the bucket?
Monkeypox.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, dude. And that's great. Well, you guys, we'd love to go see these folks. They're very funny. The Drop Comedy Club, new room, the girls from the Drift Comedy Productions, Drift Productions, great comedy seminar festivals, if you're ever part of it. Drift, great new room in San Diego. I am going to be June 1st to the 4th, my first time headlining the Looney Bin in Oklahoma City. So if you're in the area, come out to that. Big show to come out to. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. That's it, folks. I want to thank again Dustin Chafin and Larry Venturino for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to us on our YouTube channels and, of course, our fan page on Facebook. Aside from that, God bless everyone. Take care and laugh as much as you can. See you then.